Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Now, I'm going to use a word that, depending on your point of view, you might laugh, you might be cautious, you might take offense. Your reaction might be a function of your age, whether or not you went to college, even whether or not you've suffered a painful illness. It might be affected by your geography, or it might just be groovy. Yes, that word is a substance, marijuana, and today's guest is going to help us sort through everything from medicinal properties of marijuana to legal considerations. Let me introduce Dr. David Lehman, MD, PharmD. Good morning, Dr. Lehman.
Good morning.
And welcome.
Thank you very much.
And yes, we're going to have a groovy conversation. I'm actually thinking we have the attention of more than just a few folks. This is a question of a substance, marijuana. It evokes everything from the love generation of the 60s and 70s to legalization in some states. It's not legal in New York State, is it?
Correct.
No. But let's stick to the medicinal properties at first. What is marijuana and why do we talk about it when we talk about medicine?
Well, marijuana is a botanical substance. People should realize that at least most, if not all drugs, were originally derived from botanicals that we then manipulate the compounds within, isolate and purify them. So we've got a lot to learn from our planet, and that's what we've done throughout the history of pharmacology.
All right. Botanicals meaning plants.
Plant,
yes.
Substances that then you derive chemical substances from them that you purify, concentrate, and give to patients.
All right. So marijuana is something that most of us know is something we might have smoked or eaten in brownies or something like that when we were in college or in our youth, or maybe some people do now too. But what is it about marijuana that it is applied to medicine?
Well, it's the same sort of issue that was 150 years ago when we applied the digitalis leaf to anybody with a condition called dropsy.
Okay.
Which is now called congestive heart failure. Dr. William Withering looked out his window and he was frustrated with a patient one day and decided to try his various leaf products in the backyard on trying to treat his patient. And that's how he developed a drug called Digoxin.
All
so
right.
That's what marijuana is. It is a substance that's a plant that has numerous chemicals in it that we can then extrapolate and possibly use for certain medicinal purposes.
Was marijuana used originally? I mean, how did we discover it had these medicinal purposes? Or was it just that somebody discovered their nausea went away when they smoked? Or has it been in research?
No. The thread, you have to understand, in the 30s and 40s and the 50s, it was associated with crime and craziness, psychoses and things. So there was an active governmental action against the product itself because of its euphoric effect, meaning it made people high, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the fear was that we don't need another substance that's going to make people crazy. Plus, there was this sort of idea that this was a dirty sort of drug. It was like heroin. It was worse than that, etc. And so there was impeded any type of research, say, as opposed to William Withering's digitalis plant that we could move in the field of trying to treat people with heart failure. So there's a big block because of that history with that plant.
So it's really more of a history. It's more of a point of view that gets in the way of it than the fact that it might or might not have medicinal properties.
And so what happens is in everything in human behavior, you have a reaction on the other side saying that you have a very a strong belief in that it is good for everything that you have.
I see.
So that's where the two camps come to play at.
And very little in the middle. All right. Does it cure anything that we know of?
That I know of, no.
All right. And typically, what kinds of relief does it provide? What do people, I mean, right now it's legal in California, so it's being prescribed. What's
right.
it being prescribed for?
Right. Well, that's the part of the problem in that since there isn't good funded scientific studies to look, you know, systematically at the plant, which probably would not be useful. You need to derive the chemicals that are found within the plant and then test those against other products. What it has been used for is since it causes people to have an increase in hunger. We used to call it the munchies.
The munchies.
Okay. All right. That was the first light bulb going on that the drug may have actually a receptor inside the body that it activates. And so one of the exciting areas of research is what's called the endocannabinoid receptors, where if you block those receptors, you can actually treat obesity with an antagonist of the compound.
Okay.
Likewise, if you activate those receptors, since they cause people to really increase their appetite, derivatives of the compound itself, possibly like in the valid use, say, in California, would be for cancer patients to stimulate their appetite.
All right.
There are some evidence to show that these endocannabinoids are also involved in pathways of inflammation. Drug has been used for rheumatoid arthritis with some relief in these patients. Those patients are particularly difficult to treat because it's a chronic disease, lots of pain, and also the drugs we use for them cause all kinds of different problems, anywhere from liver problems to kidney problems to stomach problems. And so it's not unreasonable to think that there are valid medicinal uses for the plant. Those are the two that are probably the most active right now that I'm aware of.
Interesting. We know people smoke marijuana, but are there other ways that it should be administered,
yes.
Do you think?
Well, the critical issue is, what I want to make sure is that I want to get across that I'm of a firm mind that when you have a plant substance, that the active chemicals within that plant substance should be identified, purified, and then scientifically and rationally tested in the process that we have. That's how we've had our great successes in the United States.
Sure.
What I don't think is useful is to have the plant substance tested against other types of, now other people disagree with me, but I think that is the way we find out what is the best thing within the plant that works.
Wait, finish your sentence. They shouldn't be tested against.
They shouldn't be, because when you're dealing with a plant substance, you're dealing with, who knows, hundreds of different compounds at varying concentrations without controls, without concentration-dependent type of matters. When you have that, the response in the body will vary from batch to batch to batch to person to person to person. There's so much variability with that. There's not going to be good science that's going to be derived from that. So you're not going to be able to answer some of these questions with cannabis sativa, the plant.
The plant, all right. So if I'm understanding correctly, I want to make sure that I'm getting this. We've got people who are, say in California, they're being prescribed marijuana, medical marijuana, which presumably has been controlled a little more tightly, but they might be smoking this amount or this bigger amount or even this bigger amount, or the dosage isn't going to be the same. And actually, the compounds in the plant, even though scientifically they might be the same, there might be more or less of something.
Oh, there's enormous variability.
So with all that variability, we can't really
exactly.
be sure.
Exactly. That's my point.
Okay. All right.
And so you'll get anecdotal information that I'm sure that people benefit from. I have no doubt that these people benefit for certain conditions. What I'm saying is that from a systemic standpoint, from a rational standpoint, and scientific standpoint, that we cannot move forward with this issue for two primary reasons. One, the politics and the issue with regards to the two different camps on, belief systems. And then number two is the difficulty to get funding to truly derive the right chemicals from the plant in order to test it. Having said that, I think these endocannabinoid type of receptors that we found, we're getting now drugs that we're actually making that have nothing to do with marijuana plant that
right.
are being tested against these receptors for these various conditions.
Okay, what do you mean they have nothing to do with the marijuana plant?
In other words, you have, say, tetrahydrocannabinol.
Wait a minute, slow
which
down.
Which is THC, people
okay.
understand this. This
All
is
right.
an active ingredient, one of the active ingredients, probably the most active.
In the marijuana.
You manipulate that compound
okay.
and make it either more potent or an antagonist, in other words, a blocker,
okay.
then you can possibly treat obesity, you can possibly, really, really stimulate someone's
right.
appetite who has cancer and those kinds of things.
But you can also look at controlling the amounts that are administered.
Absolutely.
And so
once
forth.
You derive
right.
that, once you have a very, very tight, well-designed type of approach.
Well, I want to go back to, I mentioned politics early on, and it's a couple of kinds of politics. It's not even just legislative types of politics. It's the politics of people's thought processes and their belief systems. And so I've got to think that that's influencing the way research is being done and the way research is being paid for. Speak to us about that a little bit.
Well, research is not going to be done on this. There's not going to be any sort of formal NIH studies that I can see taking cannabis sativa, which is the plant, and then going forward with it.
You think that because of the politics?
Yeah, simply because it's a substance that's so fraught with emotionality that you're not going to get this past I mean, with the health reform now, the Senate and filibustering and all that other kind of thing, you're not going to get funding for that. Plus, there's competing interests. There's so many competing interests for good studies that are funded by the NIH. Also, who's going to license and manufacture cannabis sativa? Who's going to be a drug company that's going to own this?
It's going to be the one that thinks they can make the most money from
it. Yeah, and they can't make any money on it because it's a plant substance grown from the ground. So that's why you have to derive these specific chemicals from it, then they can patent it, then they can move forward to make money off it.
That's actually a part of the whole bigger problem of the natural substances that just aren't studied because nobody can make enough money off of them.
Correct.
Yep, very interesting. Well, Dr. David Layman, I think we've learned more about medical marijuana. I'm not sure that we're moved any forward in our ability to be able to use it because, of course, we can't get a hold of it legally in New York State. But I think you've answered our questions about why people want to get hold of it and what they think they can benefit by. Thank you so much for coming by this morning.
You're welcome.
Listeners, we need to take a break. Not a long one. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.